Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Jordan Tama, author of the IBM Center report, Maximizing the Value of Quadrennial Strategic Planning. In this particular segment, I want to talk about a quadrennial review you researched and analyzed that was actually decided and generated by the department itself, which is, why and when did the U.S. Department of State decide to draft the Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Review?
Well, this is an interesting story, I think. So the Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Review began when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State in 2009, first year of the Obama administration. She made a public announcement in the summer of 2009 saying that she was going to start a Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Review. There were a couple reasons why she did this. One was that Congress was starting to advance legislation that would mandate this. And for Clinton, it was preferable to do it herself rather than Congress to impose certain mandates on the department. So she was preempting Congress by doing this. But I think separately, she also saw certain value in it, both political and more good governance, you could say. So the good governance reason was that she saw ways in which the State Department was operating in an outdated manner or areas where she thought it could be reformed and made to be a more effective agency. Politically, she thought that doing a Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Review would help her make the case to Congress and also to the White House for funding the State Department, because the State Department is an agency that's tended to have weak support from Congress, especially struggles to compete for funding with the Defense Department, which is, of course, sort of the giant, the giant dominating department in the foreign policy and national security domain. And she had served on the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, and she said something very interesting when she created the QDDR. She said when she served on the Armed Services Committee, she saw how the Defense Department used the QDR effectively to make a case to Congress for supporting what the Defense Department wanted. And she thought the QDDR would be a way to do the same thing for the State Department. So she was actually very forthright about, that political motivation. I think that was a smart judgment of hers.
No, I was just wondering, so how were the first and second iterations, how did they differ?
So the first QDDR was broadly similar to the QDR and also the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review, in that it was very structured. There were working groups. It was led by the head of the policy planning office at the State Department. It was quite comprehensive. It looked at all kinds of issues, all major issues having to do with the State Department. The second review was much more informal, and it was carried out when John Kerry had become Secretary of State. And some people who participated in the first QDDR or observed it had felt that it was too big. It tried to do too much. There were lots of working groups. The report covered lots and lots of things, and they thought it would be helpful to make the second one more focused on a few strategic priorities. And so the second one, the report was itself much shorter, and it didn't cover as much, but it was focused on a few priorities, and the process was looser. There were not these formal working groups. It was still led by a QDDR office. So one of the things that happened also that was interesting is the State Department created an office on the QDDR, which is a permanent office designed to not just lead the QDDR process, but carry forward implementation after the report comes out. So that, I think, was a good idea. And so that office led the second QDDR, and it was done much more just consultatively, where they, spoke with people throughout the department, spoke with external stakeholders, and then they put together a report.
So, given your research, could you outline for us what's your assessment of the QDDR?
So it's led to some concrete changes, some organizational changes. So the first QDDR resulted in a number of reorganizations in the State Department. Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, thought that the State Department was not competing effectively with some other agencies, especially the Defense Department, but also Treasury Department on some important international issues. So she, through the QDDR, created a number of new bureaus. A Conflict and Stabilization Bureau was created. A new Energy Bureau was created. A new Office of the Chief Economist was created. And interestingly, these were all areas where other agencies were very active. So if you think of energy, obviously Department of Energy is very involved in that. An Office of the Chief Economist, well, the Treasury Department generally, and as well as Commerce, are very involved on international economic issues. Conflict and Stabilization Operations, that's an area where Defense Department is very, very involved. And so her idea was that we need more capacity to be able to sort of compete with these other agencies and have stronger standing in the interagency on these issues. And so that, so a number of new bureaus were created. And there were also some other changes to personnel policies that were created, mainly designed to try to modernize personnel policies, make them more flexible, bring more incentivize more innovation by creating new standards for hiring that would give greater emphasis on innovation and also interagency experience. There are actually quite a few, you know, specific reforms that came out of it. The second QDDR developed a proposal for a new hub for data analytics in the State Department because the State Department's been criticized for not exactly being on the cutting edge in terms of its use of data and information. It has a fairly, you know, traditional culture centered in the Foreign Service, which is based on diplomatic reporting and negotiation. And so this was an effort to make the department more oriented toward using data in a systematic way.
So, you know, there's another one that you another quadrennial review that your report focuses on, which is the Energy Review. We won't have a chance to talk about it today, but I want to direct our listeners to your report, your full report, because they can get a sense of what that is. And it's a very interesting read. What I'd like to do now is transition to the recommendations you offer in your report. Could you outline the key recommendations you offer to departments that conduct quadrennial reviews?
A couple of my main recommendations are to make sure that these departments are balancing a couple of important aspects of strategic planning and not emphasizing one too much to the exclusion of the other. So one example is balancing top-down direction and meaningful engagement with a broad array of stakeholders. So one of the models of strategic planning is just to have, you know, folks in the strategy office or policy office kind of decide on a strategic plan, and this is kind of top down. They just, you know, develop a strategic plan, and then it's, you know, sent out to the rest of the department. So that's top down, but very poor on stakeholder engagement. The quadrennial reviews can be good on stakeholder engagement because they tend to have these working groups, and they're very inclusive. Usually, people throughout the department are involved, but where they can fall a bit short is when there's not also top-down direction to make sure that the quadrennial review is moving forward and not just staying at a kind of lowest common denominator or status quo outcome. And so the way I've seen this done well is when the secretary of the department, some secretaries of defense have done this, provide guidance at the outset of the review to say, okay, the terms of reference, they can be called, that say, this is what I want this quadrennial review to be focused on. I want decisions to be made on this set of issues. And then it just, it prevents the process from becoming so diffuse that it doesn't really move forward. So that's one thing. Another important recommendation, I think, is to have both strategic assessment or analysis and operational planning. So these quadrennial reviews tend to be very good ways of ensuring that long-range analysis is being done. And that's extremely important because we need more of that in the government generally. But they have not always been as strong in translating that analysis into more concrete operational guidance. And so you need, agencies need to ensure there's enough time being given to both of those things and create a calendar for strategic planning that, you know, allocates sufficient time to do strategic assessment and then also allocates sufficient time to do operational planning. And then third, I'd say, is developing more analytical capacity. So some departments have done this well. Some departments already had it, like the Defense Department has very extensive analytical capacity. Department of Homeland Security has developed more analytical capacity as it's done a couple of quadrennial reviews, and that's been helpful. Some other departments that don't even do quadrennial reviews have made big strides in analytical capacity. The Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, does not do something called a quadrennial review, but they do very robust strategic planning, and they've created something called the Strategic Studies Group within the department that does long-term analysis. And they had initially hired consultants to do this kind of analysis. Then they had a really smart idea. They hired the consultants to train their own people in how to do strategic assessment so that they wouldn't have to rely on consultants for this. And now there's even a course for VA personnel on strategic foresight. And so they've developed this capacity. So I think more agencies need to do that.
So what are some of the recommendations you offer in your report that's directed to the White House or the Congress?
So for White House and Congress, one important thing is to synchronize better quadrennial reviews and the production of agency strategic plans, or to get these requirements, you know, working together. In that Congress passed a number of laws mandating certain quadrennial reviews, and then separately it passed the Government Performance and Results Act, which mandates agency strategic plans, and agencies have basically treated these as separate things. And so I would like to see those laws reformed. So for instance, for the laws mandating quadrennial reviews, the legislation should also require that the quadrennial review process also generates an agency strategic plan. And so it'll be sort of worked into the quadrennial review rather than left as a afterthought. And then also, I think we need more cross-cutting strategic planning. So most of these quadrennial reviews have been done within one department or one agency. And so many issues involve a lot of agencies. Pretty much all issues involve multiple agencies. There's an interesting new model with the quadrennial energy review where the White House created a quadrennial energy review, and there's an interagency task force led by the White House, but the staff work is basically done by the Department of Energy. And this was done because energy policy involves a lot of agencies, and there was a feeling that we need more coordination across these agencies. And so for other issues where it's not really centered so heavily in one agency, we need more kind of cross-cutting strategic planning efforts, and the White House needs to be involved in that. It's hard to do that because the White House is sort of overburdened. They have, you know, so many things they need to do, don't have an enormous staff, so they can't really do all the strategic planning, but they can oversee it, you know, at the top level, and then agencies can, you know, be doing the bulk of the work to actually conduct the strategic review.
So, Jordan, what prompted your interest in this area? And perhaps you can highlight some of your research methods you employed.
Sure. I got interested in this because I noticed that there was a proliferation of quadrennial reviews. So I got interested in this around 2009 and 2010, which was when the Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Review was being conducted for the first time, and also the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review was being conducted for the first time. And before that, there was really just the Quadrennial Defense Review. There had also been a Quadrennial Intelligence Community Review, but that never got much attention. It was classified. But this was at the beginning of the Obama administration. There started to seem to be a proliferation of this. So I wondered, first of all, well, why is this happening? There was a puzzle here because many people who work on the Quadrennial Defense Review find it to be a very frustrating exercise. So to give one example, Anthony Cordesman, a former DOD official, once said, if God really hates you, you may end up working on a quadrennial defense review. So then that raises the interesting question, well, why would other agencies want to do this if people in DOD don't like doing it? And so that was why I thought that would be interesting to study. And then I also thought it would be interesting to look at, well, what is the actual value of these things? Because they're mixed views on that within the government. Some people have been very critical or cynical about these reviews, think they're, you know, take a ton of time and in the end, you know, don't amount to that much. Other people see, you know, significant value in them. So I wanted to assess what their actual value was. And, you know, what I found that I think was interesting is that even though people who work on these things tend to find them rather frustrating because they are very time consuming and, you know, the process of coming to agreement can be very challenging, you know, managing all these working groups. The process is not, you know, I think a fun one for most of the participants, but for senior leaders of these departments, they can still be quite valuable because they give some direction, strategic direction to the department. And so that's, I think, why you get, you know, mixed feelings. And for Congress, actually, they can be quite valuable because they give Congress a way to oversee the department. So I thought all of that was interesting. So and the way I researched this was mainly by interviewing people. I interviewed more than 50 people who work in agencies that have done quadrennial reviews, in many cases, people who worked on the quadrennial reviews themselves, but also people who weren't working on a quadrennial review but work elsewhere in the department to try to understand what impact the review had. I interviewed some senior leaders about how they saw the value of these reviews. I interviewed congressional staff about how they saw the value of these reviews and some experts outside government. And then I also looked at the actual review, the reports that came out of these reviews and recommendations that came out of the reviews to assess to what extent some significant changes resulted from the reviews.
That's great. So I want to thank you for coming in today and spending some time discussing your research for the IBM Center report, Maximizing the Value of Quadrennial Strategic Planning. Thanks again.
Okay. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed the conversation.
This has been a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Jordan Tama, author of the IBM Center report, Maximizing the Value of Quadrennial Strategic Planning. You may order or download a free copy of this or any IBM Center report at businessofgovernment.org. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.